Hump Day Edition. Welcome back into the CBSSports.com Ion College Basketball Podcast. I hope you are doing great and enjoying the middle of the season. Here we are, smack dab, enjoying the end of January. And before you know it, March will be here. It's good to stop and realize just how good the hoop is. Wednesday Edition means Jeff Goodman and Gary Parrish are on the podcast. Parrish coming to us from the desert. He did some TV work on Tuesday night for the Nevada-UNLV game. We'll get to that plenty, as well as Kentucky and Ole Miss and all other relevant action in hoops, and maybe go off the board a little bit as usual. Before I get to these guys, just a reminder, we are now on Stitcher. If you happen to listen to the podcast, plenty of you tweeted at me and emailed me over the past 6 months. We are on that Stitcher. So if you want to do the podcast that way, feel free. Otherwise, subscribe in iTunes. Follow these guys at GoodmanCBS and at GaryParrishCBS on Twitter. Fellas, how are you doing today?
Awesome. How are you?
I'm doing well. Goodman, how are you doing over there?
I'm good. I'm doing well. I'm just working on my weekly column and listening, I'm trying to watch the replay of Parrish's game last night. I saw the halftime interview he did with Dave Rice. But other than that, I didn't. Did you do something pregame or no?
I did something in the first media timeout, like coming out of the first media timeout on Colin Kaepernick, proud Nevada alum. And so then, yeah, I had halftime stuff and then the interviews. And so it's just, you know, it's like some different, you know. People kept asking, like, so are you excited, are you nervous, are you whatever? And the truth is,
you were nervous. Admit you were nervous.
Oh, of course you are. And not because it's difficult to talk about college basketball, because I do that every day, or because it's difficult to talk to an audience, because I do that every day, or because it's difficult to ask coaches questions. But in this format, you've never done it. And like, you know, I didn't go to school to do this. Like, I think most people who in like let's take a, I mean, I was a sideline reporter, so let's take Erin Andrews, for instance. She
and then, wait. Let me stop you right there. We cannot compare you to Erin Andrews.
I was just going to let him go with it.
Absolutely not. Stop.
No, I was not about to compare myself to Erin Andrews. What I was going to say is, like, she did this for a long, long time before she became the Erin Andrews that you know? And yet, like, last night, like, it's like, all right, go, you know, and you're on national television. So
it looked like, hey, the halftime interview looked like you had done it your whole life.
Well, it's like these little bitty things. Like, you know, I'm seated last night in the middle of Ted and Lapis, and so you end up looking like your head's on a swivel, right? And so it just, I don't know, these little things. But I was pleased. I thought, you know, I didn't cuss on air. I didn't forget anybody's name. I think it does help that when I have to grab the coaches at halftime and after the game, that I know these guys, you know, I've known them. And so that makes it easier as well.
Well, you did okay. Now, I do want to ask you about the halftime interview, though, because you did actually, I've never seen you nervous, and you didn't look nervous. You looked a little like, okay, I got to make sure the question is quick. So you asked two quick ones of Rice in the interview, and I tweeted it out because it was so good. You were like looking into the camera, waiting to see
what to do. Right, you didn't know what to do
after. Well, I mean, it's like the little things like that. Like, you go to the post-game interview, and so, like, once you've done it once, then you know exactly what the score is. But that halftime interview, here's the truth. It's just little things like this that you're not prepared for if you've never done that before. Okay, I'm not sitting at a table in front of my computer. So I have they got me in a chair underneath the goal. So I have no access to stats because my phone won't get service in there because there's 16,000 people there. All right, so now I'm blind to Twitter. I'm blind to which might have been a blessing. I'm blind to the game stats. I'm blind to what's going on. So I don't really know. Like, I'm watching the game, but I don't have access to stats. I don't have box scores.
Why didn't you ask for them?
Trust me, I asked for one 100 times.
You're a big-time sideline reporter. You should have been able to get access to whatever you wanted.
There was no shortage of me asking, can somebody please bring me a box score before halftime?
Reaching out, grabbing a cheerleader's arm, being like, can you just...
Why didn't you ask Tark to get you one? Tark could have gotten you one.
Tark was courtside last night.
Did Tark look as bad last night as he did last year when I saw him?
Worse. He can barely walk now.
He couldn't walk. When I tried to talk to him, I like got one quote from him, and even then it was really, really hard to talk to him.
He looks bad. You know, like when people – when he walks in the building, he doesn't walk in the building. He has like a walker. Escort. Yeah.
Right. And,
I'm sorry?
Did people escort him out?
Yes. Like he had a young kid. Yeah. I would think it's probably a grandson sort of guiding him and escorting him. And, it's sad. It's sad to see, you know, because that's regardless of what you think about the way he ran his program, there's no denying he's an icon of college basketball. And so to see him in that shape, it's uncomfortable on some level because that's not the way, it's a man getting old and his body's starting to fail him. But he was there. Bryce Harper was there. Greg Maddux was there.
Of Greg Maddux. Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine might have been my two favorite pitchers of all time.
Love Greg Maddux. So I got no access to these things. So like and box scores and stuff. And then so then you go out there at halftime. Also, like every person who does this inside a basketball arena, they have like a special earpiece because the crowd is cheering in one ear. You got to hear the Ted throw it to you in the other. I don't have that special earpiece. I've never done this before.
I need to get a special earpiece for Saturday?
I would talk to somebody about it. Like, I talked to somebody about it after that. Like, I couldn't hear him. When he was like, let's go to Gary Parish or standing by, I don't hear that at all. I just sort of had to wait for the cameraman to, like, flick a finger and say, go. And then the interview's over. Thanks, coach. Now what am I supposed to do? You know, is that you don't know until you've done it. You know, and you got to keep in mind, I'm working with a bunch of people who do this all the time. So maybe like walking you through like exactly like you think you've done a million college basketball games. The producers and the talent and everybody else they don't think, well, hey, we better make sure the sideline reporter knows exactly what to do when the halftime interview's over. But that's like I didn't know. I've never done it. And so yes, I finally got access to Twitter at some point, and I see Norlander's picture of me like staring.
You're creeping, man. Total creep. That was great.
I was creeping at the camera. It's like the camera caught me. And so you go, okay, now what do you do? You say thanks, coach, and you stare at coach or make him stare. Actually, what I got last night, I got Dave. I said, listen, when this is over, just stand here with me. Like, don't walk away.
And that's what he did. He didn't know what to do afterwards.
Yes.
You had him all freaked out. He had no idea what to do.
No, I got him. That's what I did. I got him to stand with me because they'll take the camera off of us at some point, and then it'll just be gone. But when he started walking at halftime, my eyes follow him, and then the camera follows him, so it's my eyes following the camera. It looks weird as hell. So, it's just all these little bitty things that you have to get comfortable with.
What about the red tie people were giving you grief over? Complete coincidence? Because, you know, Borzello rightfully gave you flack. You don't wear the home team colors there, buddy.
See, I recognize that is something people say. I don't understand why that's a big deal. It's a red tie.
Like, I know, it's just fans being fans, basically.
But you wouldn't believe how many people actually pointed that out to me last night. Oh, you got your Running Rebels tie on. I'm like, no, it's just it's just a tie. I just grabbed it when I was leaving. You know, like I didn't put near as much thought into it as you do. But here's the problem. One of the other ties that I brought, it looks like a Butler tie, and I'm going to be – St. Louis tomorrow.
Classic, dude. That is great stuff. How is Vegas, by the way? How is the desert out there? Did you get yourself some clothes? You know, you show up in shirts and shorts or whatever, and it's, you know, it does. That's the rule of the desert, man. Hot in the day, freezing at night. Are you okay? Are you rocking that blazer to the Cosmopolitan roulette tables? What's going on?
I straight rocked the blazer to the bar last night.
You did not.
Some guy. So what happens is some guy comes over and he goes, "Do you work with Pat Summerall?" Because I've never. That blazer is kick ass, man. Like like everybody should have one of those.
I'm gonna wear it to all the parties in Atlanta this year when I get my.
The blazer's off the charts, right? Vegas has been good. I'm at the Cosmopolitan, a hotel you guys are familiar with. They upgraded me to a suite. And it is off the charts. It's probably like a 1,500 square foot suite.
Now,
right?
Were you wearing the jacket when they upgraded you? Is A leading to B there?
Marriott Platinum Elite type thing.
There you go.
I think when you check in on a Monday in January, like, you know, maybe there's rooms available. And so they just up, like, so the suite is, you feel a little stupid because it's like, why do I need all this, right? Like, this is silly. So got here on, let me tell you how bad this was. All right, so I just woke up. I can't sleep more than about 4 hours straight at any given time because there's something wrong with me. And so on Sunday night, I went to bed around midnight and got up at, just woke up at 3 a.m. Tried to go back to sleep, couldn't, then had to get on the flight, right? So, so I'm up at 3 a.m. Central Time, which is 1 a.m. Pacific, flying to Vegas. Fly to Vegas, get here, have to write the Politex. Then I had to do my radio show. And then at that point, I go, okay, I need to probably get a nap before I go out tonight, or because, you know, because I'm exhausted. I've slept 3 hours. And then I say, okay, well, you know, but I need to write this Marshall Henderson column. And I can lie to myself and say, I'll just write it when I get back to the room tonight, but that's not true. And I can lie to myself and say, I'll just get up in the morning and write it, but that's not true. So I better just do it now. So rather than take a, you know, go to sleep, I wrote the Marshall Henderson column on Monday night. Then went out, and I didn't post it. I just, like, left it on my computer because I was like, I'll just post it, you know, Tuesday morning or when I get back or whatever. Because I didn't want to post it Monday, references to, like, tonight's the night and blah, 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 blah. Get back. My computer restarted while it was gone. Lost it, every bit of it. So I had to wake up yesterday morning and rewrite that. So that was an awful incident. I got verbally assaulted by a hooker. Okay.
No surprise there, but if you want to go into details about how this happened, feel free.
I think it speaks well of me. It says that because I was a sweetheart. I said, so like these hookers, man, they got some really nice tricks up their sleeves. So I get back to the hotel, whatever time, the time's not important, on Monday night. And I get into the elevator, and there's like an older couple, older than me at least, couple in there, and then there's like me, and then there's like this girl, like, gets in after me. She's last, and she intentionally, in hindsight, goes to the back corner of the elevator opposite of the number, you know, that you can push to go the button. And she goes, and so what does that do? What would you do? Somebody's on the other side of the elevator. You're right by the button. What do you do, Norlander?
Push it.
You say, yeah, I know, but you say,
what floor?
Hey, what floor do you need? Right? Yeah. They know that, right? So I hit 39, and the other couple, they hit like 24, whatever. And I said, what floor do you need? She said, 42. I said, okay. I hit 42. So the older couple gets off at their floor, and now we're riding up. I get off at 39, and I said, have a nice night. And she walks out after me. And I felt really, okay, she's following me up to my hallway. And she goes, hey, you need some company tonight?
No.
Paris said, yep.
No, this did not happen.
Swear to God. And so she goes, you need some company tonight? And I said, no, thank you, but you're sweet to ask. All right? I said, no, thank you, but you're sweet to ask. And then she looked right at me, and she goes, well, have fun with your hand. I just looked at it. I was like, why are you yelling at me? Like, what did I do? I was sweet to you. And I just sort of walked away demoralized. Like the whole night hadn't gone, like, you know, like at the blackjack table at least. Like, the whole night goes, like, ridiculous. And then I'm just trying to go to my room. Just trying to go to bed. I'm so tired.
Man. Can't a man get back to his room in Vegas without being accosted by a woman of the night?
Said, do you need some company? I said, no, thank you, but you were sweet to ask. Well, have fun with your hand.
Okay. I know how I'm teasing the podcast on Twitter. Good stuff. I had the over-under on Parrish Vegas stories at 13.5, and clearly you've gone over, so shame on.
Hand? What are you yelling at me for? Like, what did I do to you? I didn't do anything to you.
It's going to be okay, dude. I promise. Elsewhere, Tuesday night, the big game was Kentucky Ole Miss. Goodman wrote on that. I won't even set you up, Goodman. Thoughts on wherever you want to go with it, whether Henderson, Noel, UK, you wrote on it. What are you thinking here on Wednesday morning?
I was just so disappointed by Marshall Henderson. I mean, listen, I've watched him enough on TV. I talked to enough people who coached him, been around him. You know, people had just kind of blown him up to whereas you're expecting this Jimmer Fredette show that we got, you know, a couple of years ago at San Diego State when he went for 40-plus. And instead, Marshall Henderson was just kind of nothing. I mean, he disappointed. The key was obviously Nerlens Noel here. I mean, he was dominant, especially down the stretch. I mean, think about this. Four fouls, yeah. And you guys know, I've been saying this for years because I've seen Nerlens play around here since he was a freshman in high school. And I've said, like, he's got some of the same traits wise as Bill Russell. I know it sounds nuts. He's not Bill Russell. We know that. But the body, the way he blocks shots at the rim, and he showed that last night, playing with four fouls and blocking five shots down the stretch. He was unbelievable. I mean, it was so much fun. He stole the show from Marshall Henderson, who was a complete dud and took bad shots. And listen, I still love Marshall Henderson because, again, he's fun to watch. But he's fun to watch when he's making shots. He stinks to watch when he's missing them. He's boring. He's painful. It's ugly. That's it. I mean, that's it. Like, and it was a huge win for Kentucky. A huge win. I never thought I'd say winning at Ole Miss would be a huge win in the John Calipari era. But this one was huge because they needed a resume win. And right now, or at least this week, Ole Miss is a ranked ball club. And they have three more shots. Two against Florida. One I'll be at in about 2 weeks down in Gainesville. Then they get two at home, Florida and Missouri. And they've got to win. If they didn't win this one last night, you're talking about probably having to win two of those three.
Yeah, it's certainly a good win. Henderson, you describe his game as a dud, and yet he had 21. Is that a good sign? He was chucking them up, though. I mean,
he was bad. He was bad, period.
Yeah,
it was an ugly 21. I've saw Jerome Dyson get 50 once. It was an ugly 50.
You can have an ugly 50? I didn't realize that.
It was brutal. I think it was 40, but it was brutal nonetheless. Didn't matter.
Gary, I don't know how much you saw of this game because obviously you were at the UNLV game. If you've seen highlights or whatever, it was. I tell you, the game itself was a letdown. Which is, we hyped it up and it was the big thing. Noel was awesome. Just to have that mentality. I had a terrible pun and called him Nerlens No Fear because he was just with four fouls and the kind of blocks he was creating, and it was truly awesome. But my thing with Ole Miss is, I've been saying this from the start. I want to see if the team can handle having a target with all the pressure. Henderson and the team itself, they're in a position that none of them are familiar with. AK has never been to the tournament itself, and I think it's not a huge surprise that Ole Miss showed up at home and played the way they did.
No, I mean, listen, this was the Kentucky kids, even though they're all freshmen, they've been in big games, at this point. They played Duke in a dome. They opened the season against Maryland at Barclays. I mean, they understand what it's like to play in a really hyped up, high profile game. The Louisville game's another one. The Ole Miss kids had never been through this, and AK, I'm not sure, had ever been through this at Ole Miss. I mean, this game was appointment television for a variety of reasons. A, it involves the Kentucky Wildcats, which is it makes everything bigger than it would otherwise be. But secondly, like the Marshall Henderson star had. Was as bright as it's ever been, and for a whole bunch of different reasons. It's not just because he was the SEC's leading scorer, because I could ask you right now, who's the Big 12 leading scorer? Who's the Big East leading scorer? Like, those things don't necessarily just resonate with us. But this kid, after the Tennessee game last week when he went for 28 and then was, there's a picture of him and a girl at a bar, and then on Saturday hits the free throws, we get the jersey pop and the gif and suddenly, and I wrote about this yesterday morning for the second time in a span of 12 hours, that just, social media is such a massive deal. And when so it turns kid into an internet sensation, but not many people had actually seen him play, I don't think. I mean, I think college basketball fans, hardcore, had probably seen him play. But last night, he was stepping onto a stage where he was the star, and it was a massive stage. Primetime television against Kentucky on ESPN. And he didn't show up. And so now if he would, that doesn't mean that the stage shouldn't have been the stage. All that we do in this is look ahead, try to figure out what's going to be a big deal, try to figure out what's interesting and entertaining, and then we watch it, and then we react accordingly. And last night presented a massive opportunity for him and for Ole Miss, and they didn't get it done. So now where are we at? You know, I think, you know, people start to wonder, all right, is how good really is Ole Miss? Their best Missouri without Lawrence Bowers. How good really is this kid? Because when we played against Kentucky's pros, he didn't look all that great. And so you start to ask questions from a different angle. They got Florida this weekend. Now, if he goes to Gainesville and does something wild and they're able to upset Florida, which I doubt would happen, then we're right back to where we were, or at least close to it. But, you know, the thing about it is when you're not used to that stage that you get last night and you don't perform well on it, the nation, or at the very least college basketball fans, they start to, okay, I'd never heard of this basketball program, really. Never heard of this kid until last week. I finally tuned in and watched them against a quality opponent. They couldn't get it done. Now, what else is there for me? That's where we're at right now.
Yeah, Goodman, I want one more point from you on Henderson. Gary makes a good point. They got the road game at Florida. And then, actually, you know, they have a home one against Mississippi State, but then they go to Missouri, to A&M. There stands a chance that Ole Miss might get itself into a bit of a pickle here if they can't win at least one of those road games and take care of business against Mississippi State. But during the game last night, you know, part of why we are intrigued by Marshall Henderson is because there is the prospect that he will implode, that he can have a meltdown. You know, he chucked a piece of ice. Like, he just does things, and it's almost like
he's a knucklehead.
Like how Gary would react to his kid. Like, he's chucking ice at the student section for no apparent reason. Like, why are you doing that, man? And then there was an incident there where he got taken out of the game, and Kennedy's trying to lasso him in and get his emotions in check. And this is something that I think is, yeah, it can be entertaining, but I really think Kennedy is, I don't know, can you speak more to how hard it must be to coach a kid like that that's clearly talented, but I don't want to say he's unhinged, but he's unpredictable in his emotions.
Well, Andy Kennedy worked for Bob Huggins at Cincinnati, so
okay.
He's dealt with plenty of crazy before, okay? Marshall Henderson probably would rank somewhere in the top 10 of all time most unpredictable, craziest kids that he's coached. I've talked to AK about him for a while, and again, the kid's emotional. As long as he doesn't hurt anybody else, and he kind of just does his stuff and taunts and talks and all that, I think we're okay with that. But once he crosses that line, which he could easily cross, because you can envision somewhere some fan coming out of the stands on the road and coming after him. And what is Marshall Henderson going to do? Is he going to run the other way? Probably not.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm concerned about Marshall Henderson. Again, it's all fun as long as he's talking trash. We're all cool with that as long as it doesn't start a you know, bench-clearing brawl or again, with fans or in a club or something like that. But I think then he's going to turn into a villain, like a villain that most people dislike if he crosses that line.
Yeah, we're at a point right now where we're enjoying it, but we're seeing plenty of, and listen, Henderson's 22. We're seeing plenty of photos of him, you know, hanging with females at parties and drinking and enjoying life, and it's fine. It just feels like it might have a little bit of a teetering quality here, and you hope that he can kind of stay on the straight and narrow, and Ole Miss remains a story that's entertaining for all the right reasons. Well, let's move on, and I'll go to Goodman again here and do our weekly checkup on the nation's most untrustable team. NC State has lost 3 of the past 5. They've been flip-flopping, lose to Maryland, beat Clemson, lose to Wake, beat Carolina, lose at Virginia, although they did not have Lorenzo Brown for the second half last night to a tweaked ankle. But I don't trust the team. Forget about, like, Final Four. I don't know if I trust the team to make it to the second weekend at this point.
As I said, I wrote it yesterday and kind of after my trip over the weekend of kind of a random dozen thoughts. And I said, you know, this is a team that could easily lose in its first game to Stephen F. Austin or a team that could go to the Final Four. Now, they did not have Lorenzo Brown in the second half. Okay. He's critical for them. Then you put in Tyler Lewis, who honestly probably doesn't even belong in NC State. Good player, but, you know, probably should go down a little bit of a level. And he'd be really good. So a lot of times they didn't even have Tyler Lewis on the court. They had Rodney Purvis running the point, which is not exactly what you would like. Regardless, they probably should have won that game at Virginia. Virginia's a good team, but NC State's got way too much talent to lose to Wake on the road, to lose to Virginia, even without Lorenzo Brown. This is a team that I've always said, listen, I don't trust them for several reasons. One, I'm not a huge fan of their freshmen. I know they were McDonald's All-Americans, and I'm a fan of their talent. Rodney Purvis, TJ Warren. I love their talent. I just don't trust them as great teammates yet, as chemistry guys. And I watch Mark Gottfried, as I did Saturday, and I just see a coach that's not really kind of plugged into them all. He's very quiet. You watch him on the sidelines, it's almost eerie. You never see a coach like this who stands the entire game and rarely talks.
Hmm.
I mean, Patino, Calipari, they're yelling every possession. Even Mello guys. Watch Brad Stevens and Mark Few. Those guys are shouting stuff all the time. And Mark Godfrey just stands there and kind of doesn't say a word for like three or four straight possessions. He won't say one word.
That's an interesting observation. I had not noticed that.
Crazy. Crazy.
Random stat. Now, NC State's the only ACC team to never win at John Paul Jones Arena, and they couldn't get it done on Tuesday night. I mean, you both of you have seen NC State in person. Gary, you were there for the biggest win of the season for the Wolfpack. But, you know, I don't know. I just get the sense that this is going to be just a team that frustrates its fan base, because we see them play. Like, I see Leslie last night. Yeah, he did more because he had to, but that might be the best game he has all season, 20-14. And if he could produce those kind of numbers when Brown is in the game and lead them to victory, I would feel better. But he puts up that kind of performance, and they still don't even come away with a victory.
I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at this. I'm not surprised that they lost at Virginia.
Yeah. For the record, Virginia was favored. I don't want to take anything away from the Hoos there. But at some point, you know.
All you want. Great. Okay. Vegas had him as a favorite. Who are most people saying, though, should win that game?
Right. If NC State's going to be this good, they should win some more of these games. They've dropped three in a row. Sorry, Gary. Go ahead.
I said Virginia would win that game. I mean, like.
You did. You thought Virginia would win.
Yes, they were favored to win the game.
Oh, I don't care who was favored. I mean, to me, you're NC State. You've got all that talent. You should beat Virginia. You couldn't even – how many guys on Virginia's team could you even name going into that?
Here's the deal. How many teams – let's attack this from a different place. How many teams in the country can go on the road and consistently beat other good teams?
I'm not saying consistently. I'm saying, you know what? To me, I felt like NC State, especially coming off the high of beating Carolina, would come in and beat Virginia. I did.
See, I think the brand of Carolina like makes you think it was a high to beat Carolina, when in reality they just beat a bad basketball team.
No, it was a high. You're wrong. They did beat a mediocre basketball team. You're right about that, but it was clearly a high. If you were there, you would have understood how big this was for that program to beat Carolina that had owned him for 10 years, longer.
Fine. Okay. It was an emotional high, but it wasn't some bit of evidence that suggested, man, NC State is one of the top five teams in the country. It was just a home win over, I don't want to say a bad basketball team, but over a team that's not nearly as good as anybody thought they were going to be. I guess my point is this. Kansas, I trust. Michigan, I trust. I still think Syracuse is really good. But like the list is of teams that I trust to go win, beat another good team on the road, is probably about five or six. And so I didn't have North Carolina State on that list going into last night. But I also didn't have, like, you know, 300 something other teams that I didn't have on that list. There's only a handful of them that can go do that consistently, and NC State's not one of those.
All right, so Goodman, are you down on Virginia as a tournament team? The 15-5, they have lost three games to the Colonial this year, Mason, Delaware, and Old Dominion. Also dropped games to Wake Forest and Clemson, but they're 5-2 in the ACC. They're setting up to be an intriguing resume team. I think last night could go a long way, but you sound like you're not in on the Cavaliers as someone that should be in the field of 68.
Not this year. Not this year. I think they'll be very good next year. I think they return almost everybody, if not everybody. They got a really good big guy in Mike Toby, talented, Joe Harris. The Mitchell kid's good. They're a good team, and they've got a really good coach in Tony Bennett. I just think, again, to me, I don't think they're a team that's going to go on the road and win games. And they're going to need to be with those losses they had early you know, losing the first game of the year, I think, to Mason, losing to Delaware, losing a bad Old Dominion team. So I think they just dug themselves into too big of a hole, and they don't really have the resume win other than this one against NC State at home. I think they're an NIT team.
Okay, I want to do a couple of quick housekeeping notes here. Bowers back for Missouri tonight. Parrish, that's a big boost there. I mean, we'll see what the Tigers can do and if they can. Now it's kind of Kentucky, Missouri back as we expected, battling for number two in the SEC.
Norlander, hold on a second. Okay. Does good thing we have to put 68 teams in the tournament?
Okay, so you want to go back to Virginia?
They're 15-5.
They've lost to three Colonial teams. Have you watched the Colonial all this year, by the way?
Here's what Goodman said. They don't really have a resume. They won at Wisconsin.
I didn't remember that one. All right, that's a good win.
Wisconsin, they've got a win over North Carolina, and they've got a win over NC State now.
I forgot the Wisconsin one. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Try to fill out your at-large teams without including a Virginia team that's 15-5 with those three wins. You can't do it.
You think they're definitely in?
Well, I think they would definitely be in today. I mean, I can't sit here and tell you how the rest of the season's going to go. But
and that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure. Again, they're going to sustain it here, but we'll see. I mean, hey, they got a chance. Again, if I'm a betting man, I'd go with them in the NIT this year.
Yeah. If you were a betting man, you'd have lost on them last night.
All right, here we go. Goodman, this is going to be our bet right here. This is the bet. You're going to say Virginia in the NIT?
No, I'm not going to bet my Akron shirt.
Oh.
I need a better bet on than that one. I need something that I feel a little bit stronger about.
For
that.
The background here, Goodman, Akron has these. Had these jerseys sent to a few media members. Billis tweeted it out. Goodman has his actual Twitter handle on the back of an Akron jersey for these special jerseys they're going to wear Saturday. And it's just an incredible thing. And so Goodman and I have to decide on a bet. If he loses, he has to wear the jersey sometime, like some evening in Final Four weekend. And if I lose, I have this blue velvet jacket and I have to have matching blue pants and go with my blue man.
Seriously, if you lose and you have to go out in that one, I mean, I feel bad for you.
Well, we'll figure out the terms of Gary, by the way, did you get an Akron jersey?
I'm not home, so I don't know.
Oh, you don't know. You're going to be legitimately, like, forget the blazer. Like, if you don't get the jersey, your ego is going to take a huge hit here, isn't it?
Oh, like, yeah, like, you know, I like Keith Ambrose, but, like, don't think I won't get around the Akron program looking for violations.
Okay.
Like that and not get I need a basketball jersey with my Twitter handle on it.
That's the thing. Like, that's
– Maybe Pastner. Hey, maybe Pastner can help you out there.
Yeah, of course I can get one from Josh. I wanted an Akron one, man.
No, this is no little skit here. Like, that is the ultimate Parrish. Like, I need a jersey with my Twitter handle on it. And the fact that if Goodman got one and you didn't, is so hilarious, dude. I'm kind of rooting it for it to happen because you would never have guessed that he would be the one to get it and you not.
I am, right. Because, for like 100 different reasons, but like,
I don't know, being one of them that Parrish couldn't have named the head coach until yesterday of Akron.
Forever. What are you talking about? Don't say that.
Could you recognize Keith Dambrit if he was in front of you right now?
Yes.
You would, honestly. I'm gonna bring Keith Dambrit over to you in Atlanta at the Final Four, and we're gonna see if you know who he is.
Why would I not know Keith? Let the record show, if I get home and there is not a FedEx or UPS box with a Gary Parrish CBS jersey in it from Akron, Keith's dead to me.
It's fair. I can't disagree with that. All right, real quick here. Bowers is back from Missouri. He's coming back tonight. That should be good for them. And I wanted just to make mention of that. If people were unaware, Missouri and Kentucky now will be battling for the number two spot. Patino, do either of you have intel on Kevin Ware is out? Apparently, Patino said he's not coming back anytime soon. It's funny. Goodman tweeted that, and then he retweeted the Ion College Basketball account, and about 50 people were like, Patino's full of crap. He'll be back by next week. Blackshear's got a shoulder injury. Any kind of updates and prognosis on Louisville, which, you know, got off that three-game losing streak, but now I don't know if this team can win the title, to be honest. Teams don't normally lose three in a row in a season and go on to win a title, so that's what history is telling us right now.
Peyton Siva told me yesterday on the radio that he thought Blackshear would be back for their next game.
Okay.
You know, but this is a guy who's had numerous shoulder problems over the course of his career. That really affected him. He missed almost the entire freshman season last year. As for Kevin Ware, I don't know, and I'm not sure how much it matters. I mean, does he help him because he's long and athletic and can come in and give him some minutes off the bench in terms of defense? Sure, but they're not. Listen, Kevin Ware being in or out of the lineup isn't going to affect whether Louisville wins the national title or gets to the Final Four. Having said that, I never believe anything Patino says in terms of injuries, because he could say something today and change course on it an hour later. And that's just how Rick is. Richard Patino, his son, will be the first to tell you that. Like, whatever my dad says, just honestly, he could change his mind in 10 minutes. So you never know. You never know with Kevin Ware. But, again, the key one is Blackshear. They need him back right now. And the key guy is Chain Bohannon. They need him to start playing like a top player.
I was going to let Gary kind of – I was going to let Gary chime in on Louisville if he wanted to, but I think he's still reeling and trying to picture if he's got that jersey waiting for him back at home. So it's
He's texting his wife right now, Kelly. Kelly's wearing the Akron jersey right now. Parrish CBS.
What if it was Kelly Parrish that got the jersey personalized?
We are at the point where Kelly gets like packages from college basketball programs now.
Come on.
No, it's like it's addressed to Kelly Parrish.
That's nuts. Like
what has she gotten? Anything good?
How about the coolest, I think? A Marquette bottle of wine.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Wait, Buzz Williams wine.
Yeah, that's pretty intriguing. How about Buzz Williams in the pink shoes over the weekend, by the way, and the Bradley Center bat? That was nice and quirky. Kind of a weird weekend in hoops.
Buzz looks sharp. Buzz is Kelly's favorite college basketball coach.
Yeah, he's a hell of a character, man. Unafraid to wear those pink kicks. I was waiting for Goodman to crack on him, but Goodman was on the road, so he didn't get quite a chance to.
I didn't even see him. I still haven't seen the pink shoes, to be honest.
Goodman was busy ignoring Virginia's resume.
That's true. That's true. Hey, Goodman, where are Parrish? You're at St. Louis Butler Thursday, and you're doing more TV work, right?
True. I'm flying to St. Louis in the morning. So, yeah, that should be good. I mean, that'll be a nice road test for Butler. And if Butler loses, let me go ahead and tell you, it won't mean that Butler doesn't deserve to be in the top 15 or whatever. Like, I was looking at the rankings a minute ago. Like, there's about six or seven teams that you can trust. And outside of that, you know, all of those teams are going to lose road games to quality teams. And so Butler's got a road game tomorrow night against a quality team.
All right. And Goodman, where are you going? What is your big – you have your TV debut before the next podcast, right? So then we get to put you under the microscope?
Yeah, I've St. Joe's Temple on Saturday at 6 o'clock. And, yeah, the good thing is I got Fran Dunphy, who's like the nicest human being in the entire world at Temple. So I'm not worried. Anything you do with him, you know, it's like Dave Rice. Who Parrish had last night. So he's not worried about anything he says to Dave Rice being, you know, offending him. On the other side, I have Phil Martelli.
Right.
And you just never know with Martelli. I think I have a good enough relationship with him that I can ask him anything. But you guys know me, like, I'll ask a question I probably shouldn't.
Hey, Phil, really strong first half. I see you're up by eight, but can we go over that Todd O'Brien thing one more time?
That's right, exactly. I mean, why not? Why not rehash Todd O'Brien? Why not actually have Todd O'Brien be the stop?
How dare you? I will burn my Akron jersey that I still don't have if you ask him at halftime.
Oh, my God.
O'Brien.
How about this one? How about this one? Hey, Phil. If you had Todd O'Brien eligible right now, you'd think you'd have the lead.
If I made Gary Parrish money, I would honestly debate giving you 10 grand to ask that question. Honestly.
Imagine the look in his face.
You want to make, if you want to make your sideline reporting debut internet sensation,
Jim Gray, right? I'd be like Jim Gray.
Yes. Yes. Oh,
please do that.
It would be unbelievable. Well, look for these fellas there later this weekend and follow them on Twitter at GoodmanCBS, at GaryParishCBS. You can follow me at Matt Norlander. Guys, this was great. Enjoyed it as always. Gary, survive the rest of the trip out there in Vegas. Don't lose too much more money. And we'll catch up again in a week.
I'll see you guys later. Go Virginia.
Sounds good. All right. Friday podcast. We'll be here on Friday, obviously. And Jay Billis will be on. So look forward to that. Everyone stay safe. Enjoy the erratic weather around the country. And we'll talk to you in a couple days.